Chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, and out of respect for God's word, would you please rise? Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is God's word. You may be seated. So it was many, many years ago, before we launched CLV, I was visiting a church. We had moved to a community, and this was a church that was nearby, hadn't really connected to any church yet, and so decided to go see this church and just see what happens across different tribal denominations. So I was there, and it was really a great worship service. I remember there were these two young ladies that were singing a duet. And it was a great duet. I thought, man, this is really pleasant. They were accompanied by a piano. And then the preacher got up and he preached from Isaiah 54 about expanding your tent. And he brought a new meaning to that that I had really never heard before. And I thought, well, that's really interesting too. And so the end of the service happened and there was probably 25, 30 people in the worship service. And after the service, we all kind of lined up and shook the pastor's hand as we were going out. I kind of worked my way to the end. And I took his hand and I shaked his hand. I said, Pastor, that was a nice message. It was a great worship service. Thank you so much. I said, hey, we should get together for coffee. To which he looked at me and he said, well, real Christians don't drink coffee. Which was a surprise for me because I'd never heard that before. As a matter of fact, in all the churches I've ever been, which are Lutheran churches, coffee is the third sacrament. We love our coffee. I had never heard this before. I had no idea what in the world. I should have stopped and I should have said, what verse from Scripture leads you to believe that Christians cannot consume coffee? And I've looked all through Scripture. I've tried to find something that says, thou shalt not drink coffee. Thou shalt not have caffeine. Thou shalt not drink water that is blessed. Anything. I have no idea. But I've never been able to find it. I have found a couple things, like Romans 12 says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Can you do that and drink coffee at the same time? I think so. Or perhaps your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit from 1 Corinthians 6. Maybe there's a tie in there. I don't know. I've searched and searched and searched. But other than that, I've never been able to find anything that said that there's a prohibition from drinking coffee. But I myself have stopped drinking caffeine a long time ago because it makes me really nervous. And maybe some of you have too. I don't know. But still, that's coffee, right? But my question this morning is this. Is that sowing seeds that please God? By pointing out to somebody that the behavior that they're doing, the things that they do in life, is it sowing seeds that make God happy? Today we're continuing our sermon series on seeds. As you know, here at Christ Lutheran Vale, our mission is to make loving disciples. And we envision that by planting seeds in the ground, and then the seeds germinate, and then a sprout comes up, and then a tree, and then the tree bears fruit, and it loves the world around us, and then inside that fruit is more seeds, and it goes on and on and on again. To do that, to look at how seeds are planted, today we're going to look at Galatians 6. And it's in this chapter where Paul says, actually our theme verse for this whole sermon series, that basically we reap what we sow. If you put a carrot seed in the ground, you get a carrot. If you put an asparagus in the ground, you get an asparagus. Although, if I put it in the ground, I get nothing. But you already know that. If we sow good seeds, we get good things. If we sow bad seeds, we sow destruction, corruption, dissension. We're going to look at that today from Paul's letter to the Galatians. I want you to listen to verses 1 and 3, where Paul says this, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, though, lest you too be tempted." And then he says in verse 3, "If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." My friends, it is so easy to point out the sins of others, isn't it? It is so easy to look at somebody else's life and say, well, they're doing that wrong, and they're doing that wrong, and they're doing that wrong, and just point out all the things they're doing wrong. But how difficult it is to look in our own life and see the things that we do that is wrong. It is so easy to judge others, and it is so difficult to judge ourselves. You know, this is Memorial Day weekend. And this is the weekend when we as a country honor those people who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. It's a very important day, and it's one that we should always remember the people that serve and risk their lives for the sake of our freedom. But there's a church, I'm not even going to mention their name, but they're a church, and it's a well-known church, and they go around and they picket military funerals. Did you know that? There's a military funeral, and they'll go to that funeral, and they'll picket them. As a matter of fact, this is from the Charlotte Observer on June 24th, 2017, that this church has issued a statement saying that it will protest the funeral of a slain sergeant, Dylan Baldridge, in Ashe County on Friday. Baldridge of Youngsville was one of three soldiers killed in a June 10th operation in Afghanistan. A national report said the soldiers were killed by an Afghan soldier in an apparent inside attack, and the Taliban took responsibility for the act. But this church is picketing the funeral with inflammatory signs and protests. Why? The church said that God killed these soldiers, as a punishment because the U.S. military has become more open in its recruiting practices. In other words, the death happened because of God's wrath at the U.S. military. Now, the question I have for you is, what seeds are being planted? You have to understand that, first of all, God does not kill soldiers because of the policies of the U.S. government. That just doesn't happen. That's not how God operates. Now, we can debate all we want what is proper biblical behavior, and I believe that the Bible does set a standard for certain behaviors. But to make that leap to the fact that Sergeant Baldridge died because U.S. government policy is crazy. What seed does that plant in our world? And second, think about this. It's extremely arrogant to tell people that we know what God is thinking. Luther calls this a theology of glory, to tell people that we know what God's thinking and we speak for God. That was the sin of the Pharisees and the popes. But third, and this is probably the most important, this is a classical example of thinking that you are something when in truth you are nothing. And it's always so easy to point out the sins of other people without looking inward at our own failure to keep the entirety of God's law. How does this picketing, how does this going to a funeral of a slain soldier spread God's grace and His love and His mercy? You see, everything that we do in this life plants seeds. Jesus said the same thing. He said, "Don't point out the speck in somebody else's eye without looking at the log in your own eye." And in either case, it does nothing before our standard before God. Our standing before God as righteous does not happen because we go around spreading His law. Our righteousness before God happens because Jesus Christ became flesh and dwelt among us and took his sin with him to the cross. That's our standing before God. It does nothing to our own standing before God. We are his kingdom, period. And we don't need to continue to justify ourselves before the world. When we point out somebody else's sins in such a manner, are we really planting good seeds? Or are we planting weeds? Seeds or weeds? But listen to this. Paul goes on. The seeds we sow determine what it is that we spring up. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his own flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows in the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life." You see, if you plant a watermelon seed, you get watermelons. If you plant apple seed, you get apples. If you plant good things, you get good things in return. If you plant bad things, you get bad things in return. Now, this is different. If you know Eastern philosophy, they talk a lot about karma. Have you heard about karma? There are YouTube videos called Instant Karma, and they're actually quite fun to watch. It's people will be driving, and you'll see in the video a person cutting somebody off or going through an intersection, and right as they go through an intersection on red or on yellow in a crazy manner, who's sitting at the intersection but a police officer? And the police officer turns on its lights and goes after him, and we say, yes, that's instant justice. We love this. Or something like that. They're going through the intersection like crazy, and then we come a little bit later, and they're in a wreck or something like that, and we say, yes, this is instant justice. But what God is talking about is not karma. The seeds that we plant are not karma. Karma is basically a thing that happens to us. If we do good things, right, then good things happen to us. If we plant great seeds, then great things will happen to us. That's kind of what karma is all about. But that's not what the message of the gospel is, because Jesus came and he planted all sorts of great seeds, but what happened to him? He was crucified. He was killed by the people in which he planted the seeds. See, that's the gospel. That's what God is all about. It's not karma at all. When God calls us to plant seeds in the world around us, it's not that so that we can benefit, it's so that the world benefits. It's that those little seeds start to germinate and come up and create a tree, and the tree creates fruit, and the fruit attracts animals, and the animals eat the fruit, and they deposit their stuff around the tree, and all of a sudden it turns grew, and it turns the whole environment around the seed. It changes it dramatically, all from one little seed. And we, planting the seed, may never see the benefit of the seed that was planted. It's not about us and our happiness and our joy. It's about Christ telling us to plant seeds and to be faithful in planting those seeds, knowing that when seeds are planted in this world, they someday will sprout up and change the world around us. And it is so difficult for us because we want to change the world through force. We want to change the world by going picketing things. We want to change the world through the political system. And those aren't necessarily all that bad, but the way the kingdom works is totally different. The way the kingdom works is just that little seed that gets planted and nourished and watered, and it's in the soil, and it changes the world. If you sow good things, the harvest is God's goodness. If you sow honesty, the harvest and the world around us is trust. If you sow God's grace, the harvest is harmony. If you sow forgiveness, the harvest is reconciliation. If you sow openness, the harvest is intimacy. If you sow to the Spirit, the harvest is eternal life. But on the flip side, if you sow dishonesty, the harvest is distrust. If you sow selfishness, the harvest is loneliness. If you sow pride, the harvest is destruction. If you sow jealousy, the harvest is trouble. If you sow bitterness, the harvest is isolation. If you sow the flesh, the harvest is corruption. Whatever's planted, that's what the harvest is. If you plant good things, the harvest at some point is good things. If you surround yourself planting bad things, the harvest around us is not good. Paul goes on. He says, don't stop sowing seeds, even though you may not see the result of those seeds. Verse 9, he says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Do not stop sowing those seeds, because at some point we will see the harvest. In other words, God will always take the seeds of goodness that are planted, and eventually it will bear fruit. Jennifer and I go on walks periodically, not surprising, and we've been walking in our neighborhood because it's just been beautiful outside. I mean, this is the wettest I've ever seen, you know, the spring. We've had so many rains. Everything's blooming, and it's green, and it's beautiful, and everything. We're walking on our street, and all of a sudden we saw an agave plant. Have you ever seen an agave plant? It kind of shoots out, and then one, it's like overnight, it shoots up this thing into the air, and it looks like an asparagus. And then apparently, if you get online and look at it, well, the plant itself, it's a blue agave, you can actually make tequila out of it. I don't know if you know that, but that's actually where tequila comes from. So every now I walk by that, and I'm like, that's tequila. But anyway, but this asparagus thing comes out of the plant, and you think, how long, if you look at the internet, which you can believe because it's the internet, you know, it takes like 15 to 20 years for that plant to gain enough energy in its root base to send up this asparagus thing. So you're looking at this plant, and you're just like, nothing's happening. And then all of a sudden, you come out one day, and boom, you see this great thing. You know, the people that have studied, there's actually another plant called bamboo. It's the same thing. We don't have bamboo here. I've never been around bamboo. But apparently, you plant the bamboo seed, and nothing happens for like 5 years. You're looking at, like, it doesn't even come out of the soil. But underneath the soil, the bamboo plant is getting energy and building and structure and a root system, and it's actually sending out a root system that's huge, even before it's come out of the soil. And all of a sudden, one night you grow up or you wake up, and all of a sudden it's starting in a very, very short time. This bamboo shoot goes up 20 feet into the air. You just have to have patience. You just got to know that when you plant the seed, if it's a good seed and it's been watered and nourished, at some point something's going to happen. It's a law of God. And we may never see the seeds that we plant. There's an old saying that says, anyone can count the seeds of the apple, but only God can count the apples in the seed. Anyone can count the seeds in the apple, but only God counts the apples in the seed. Now, I don't know if you know who William Barclay is. He's a theologian, a Scottish, 20th century Scottish theologian, very popular, wrote a lot of commentaries. And he tells a story about one of his friends. He said, in the church where his friend worshiped, there was a lonely old man, Old Thomas. And Old Thomas had outlived all of his friends and hardly knew anyone. But when Thomas died, this friend had the feeling that there would be no one to go to the funeral. And so he decided to go so that there might be someone to follow the old man to his last resting place. And there was no one else at the funeral. It was a miserable, wet day. The funeral reached the cemetery, and at the gate there was a soldier who was waiting there. He was an officer, and on his raincoat there were badges of rank, but he came to the graveside of the ceremony, and when it was over, he stepped over to the open grave, and he swept his hand to salute as he was saluting a king. The friend walked away with the soldier, and as they walked, the wind blew the soldier's raincoat open to reveal the shoulder badges of a brigadier general. The general said, you're probably wondering what I'm doing here. He said, years ago, Thomas was my Sunday school teacher, and I was a wild lad and a sore trial to him, and he never knew what he did for me, but I owe everything I am or will be to Old Thomas. And today I have come to salute him at the end. You see, Old Thomas did not know what he was doing. He was just teaching Sunday school. He was planting seeds. The seeds we plant bear fruit in God's timing, and they always have an impact on the kingdom of God. We could be like the pastor that said that real Christians don't drink coffee. We can shut down a relationship before it ever begins. We can be so sure of our own perfection that we lose sight of our own imperfection. And we can sow God's law until the cows come home. But God's law doesn't change the world. It's God's grace. It's God's mercy, it's God's love that changes the heart. And only God's grace does that. It is my prayer for us that as we sow God's grace, His mercy, His love, and His truth, that as we do, the world around us changes. Not through force, but through the simple seeds that are sown. And then we let God do the hard work. Please rise and pray with me. Dear God, we know that your kingdom grows through seeds. We can sow seeds of your spirit, or we can sow seeds of the flesh. Fill us with more of your spirit so that the seeds we plant bring about your kingdom here on earth. Forgive us when we forget that it isn't our job to change the world, but only to plant your seeds. And thank you for becoming flesh to show us what true sowing and true harvest look like. As we go out today, give us the opportunity and the wisdom to sow seeds of the Spirit wherever you lead us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His